we're following the latest on COVID vaccines, which may start to be injected into people's arms next month. Drug maker Moderna has filed for emergency use of its vaccine at the FDA. Moderna President Dr. Stephen Hoge telling NBC Nightly News the company is confident in the vaccine's data, adding that at this point, while they wait for approval, there's no plan B. Hoge says if the vaccine is approved, the team at Operation Warp Speed wants trucks rolling within hours, if not a day. Meantime, we've learned United Airlines has delivered its first mass air shipment of Pfizer's vaccine from Brussels to Chicago. Dr. Arthur Kaplan is the head of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine. He runs a project on pre-approval access for drugs and vaccines. Kaplan telling our own Dimitri Sotis there is a lot of work to be done before many millions of Americans are vaccinated.
There's a lot still that must be done to make sure that the injections can go out to the at-risk groups, which are healthcare workers and probably nursing home residents to begin with, and the staff that takes care of them, frontline healthcare workers. You've got to get refrigeration in place and running. For the Pfizer vaccine, it requires some very complex refrigeration requirements, and those have to be ready to go and tested. You need, for the Moderna one, just general refrigeration, but that means it's probably going to be used in more rural areas. The trucks, the logistics have to get out there. You need to have the vials to put the vaccine in. You need to make sure that people are trained. And we need a system to remind people it's two shots. You don't get one and go home and forget about it. You got to come back for the second one. If you will, we need a lot of nagging built into the system to make sure everybody comes back for shot number two.
All that said, if we can turn it into a mathematical equation, are we looking at next spring?
I think it's fair to say that we're going to see 20 million high-risk people, frontline healthcare workers, nursing home residents, with vaccine in their arms, two shots by the end of January. Now, that still means it's going to take a little while for the two shots to provide protection, so they're probably starting to die at a lower rate by February. Next groups, high-risk, probably essential workers, firemen, police, ambulance, maybe prison populations that have been hit hard, maybe essential workers who deal with food, and maybe even delivery people who handle our packages and so on. They're in February and March, and then I think the rest of us April and May.
The CDC is talking about, they haven't made a decision yet, but talking about prioritizing obese Americans to get the vaccine. What do you make of that idea?
Well, there's a whole list of people that are at high risk. People over 65 seem to be really hit hard by this virus. Obese people, diabetics, hypertensives, people who have asthma and other chronic conditions. And some people may be thinking, well, I don't want to put those people first. Some of them didn't take care of themselves. But again, we view the goal of healthcare is to save lives, not to judge people, not to get into the assessments of who's a sinner and who isn't. That's why even prisoners, many of whom people might say, I don't know, why are they going before me? If they're at the highest risk of dying and you're a 35-year-old who's pretty healthy, what we do in medicine is we try to save the most lives. That's a reasonable standard to follow. And I think we let the sin fall where it may. Remember, if you just went into an average hospital and said to people, you're not going to get taken care of if you did something wrong or sinful or imprudent, it means that anybody who didn't wear a mask wouldn't get care. Anybody who didn't socially distance wouldn't get care. Anybody who chose to travel on Thanksgiving wouldn't get care. We're not going to run the system that way.
You did mention Thanksgiving travel. To what do you attribute these relatively high numbers, even as the experts told us to stay at home, and of course our stubbornly high COVID rates? Could you even trace it back to the roots of the country, sort of a don't tread on me attitude?
I think there are a number of factors that have led us to be having just horrific outbreaks and death rates that are, let's say, 1,000 times greater than a small country like New Zealand. We're tough in terms of saying, I don't want telling me what to do. Many Americans just bridle at that. There's an attitude that you can make your own best judgment. You don't need scientists and experts to tell you what to do. I completely disagree with that, but that is a common attitude about experts and expertise. The Trump administration, in my view, screwed up the whole respect for science, respect for scientific advice. They undercut it. It put us in a position where we had rallies and motorcycle rallies and political rallies. We had COVID sweeping through the White House. Outbreak after outbreak in the Midwest that's clearly linked up to a bad policy and inconsistent policy. So there are many factors at play, but they've put us really behind the eight ball, and hopefully the new administration will get a handle on this. We need testing, frequent testing, not less as the President Trump used to tell us, but more. We need to isolate more those we know to be infected so we don't have to keep shutting down the economy. We need our vaccines, and hopefully we're getting some better therapies as well to treat people.
As a nation, could we have borrowed best practices from other countries but chose not to?
Yeah, I think we've basically blown it with respect to COVID, and history will be a harsh judge of our leaders. Other countries, New Zealand, Taiwan, South Korea, use combinations of isolating their country, restricting travel more quickly, consistent policy throughout the nation, not 50 states with all kinds of different ideas with people traveling back and forth, rapid testing, frequent testing, isolating people who are infected, not doing gigantic economic shutdowns. The policies that control COVID are out there for us to see. We were just blind at the leadership level, at the national level, didn't want to see them. And culturally, we balked at doing some of the things that led other countries to basically be returning to normal. Well, we're worrying that our health systems are going to tip over in many parts of the country with too many sick people to fit into the beds we've got and a burnt out healthcare workforce.
Again, that's Dr. Arthur Kaplan, head of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine, on Skype.